40 years later. Epilogue, August 1995. Alice Anderson was standing on a step stool, rummaging around in the back of a high cupboard in the kitchen, doing a little spring cleaning, even though it was the middle of August. The church was having a rummage sale, and Alice was hunting for her mother's old coffee percolator, which she thought she remembered having stashed up there. She didn't find the percolator, but what she did come across was Lardo's little blue china plate. In science fiction movies, time machines are always depicted as complicated metal contraptions with flashing lights and bundles of coiled wires coming out of the top. But that little blue plate transported Alice back in time to the summer of 1955 so fast it took her breath away. The plate was dusty, and there was a dead fly lying on its back in the middle of it. So Alice climbed down and took it over to the sink to rinse it off. When she had finished drying the plate with a dish towel, she carried it outside to a big rock where she sometimes went when she needed a quiet place to think. It was a nondescript gray boulder in a shady corner of the backyard, near the rose bushes her mother had planted back when they had first built the new house. Alice's mother had passed away several years ago, and her father had followed just 6 months later. The house was much bigger than Alice needed it to be. It had four bathrooms, for heaven's sake. But thanks to the royalty money she got every time they played the Lardo jingle on TV, the Anderson family had lived there together comfortably for years. And until the time came for Alice to join her parents and Aunt Polly in the great beyond, she couldn't imagine living anywhere else. Sitting there on a rock, holding the little blue plate in her lap, the edges of Alice Anderson's world began to blur and grow soft as memories of her Aunt Polly and the pie shop came flooding back. Alice could see her aunt standing in the doorway of pie, waving a crinkled fan of wrinkles unfolding at the corners of her eyes as she smiled and touched the brass key that hung around her neck. Alice led a wonderful life, and she often wondered what her aunt would have thought about the way things had turned out. Polly would have been happy that Alice and her mother had become so close, and she would have been glad that Lardo had lived to the ripe old age of 22. He was buried near the big gray rock where Alice was sitting. Although the Andersons had considered getting another cat after he passed, it didn't seem fair to put Alice's father through that again. He never got over his allergies, but even though Lardo made him sneeze, he cried right along with Alice and her mother when they'd finally had to put the old cat down. Alice was immersed in memories, lost in thought, when a sweet high voice pulled her back to reality. "Yoo-hoo! Over here, Polly!" Alice called. Alice knew she wasn't supposed to have favorites, but secretly she did. Part of it was the name, of course, but the truth is, little Polly was the kind of person people couldn't help but love, just like the remarkable woman she'd been named after. "Dad says I finally got it right," Polly said. "But you're the expert. Taste." Her bright red hair was pulled back in a high ponytail, and she bounded across the yard to Alice, all legs and bony elbows, holding a pie plate in her hands. Polly was born on October 30th, 1985, the same day Kirby Grant, the actor who had played Sky King, was killed in a car accident. At 10 years old, she was the spitting image of her father, and Alice's heart swelled with love. "Here!" The girl pulled a fork out of her back pocket and handed it to Alice, and then held out the pie. There were six tear-shaped vents on the top of the crust, oozing golden juice, and the edges were crimped in even little waves. Alice knew what it was and smiled. "Start in the middle," the girl instructed. Alice struck the fork into the middle of the pie, scooped out a big bite, and put it in her mouth. "Well, what do you think?" asked the girl. Alice's throat grew tight with emotion, and tears sprang to her eyes. "Good gravy," said Polly. "Too much cinnamon, right?" Alice shook her head as a single tear slid down her nose and fell into the pie. It's perfect," she said. Really? Asked Polly, flashing her father's wonderful grin. No kidding. Woo-hoo. Polly was number three of five children, all of them redheads and mirror images of their father. Charlie, Erling, and Alice had been best friends for 40 years, but in the end, it was Nora Needleman who captured Charlie's big heart. Alice certainly hadn't seen it coming. But then, life is like that sometimes. At first, she was upset. She didn't think Nora deserved Charlie, but Charlie convinced her that she ought to give Nora a second chance, and eventually, Alice and Nora became as close as sisters. Like her Aunt Polly, Alice never married. She had no children of her own, but the Erling kids all called her Auntie Alice, and that was good enough for her. As it turned out, Nora surprised everyone by revealing a hidden talent for making pies. After they were married, Charlie and Nora bought the old pie shop and fixed it up again. They kept the name Pie, and on September 6, 1993, the welcome sign on the city limits of Ipswich was repainted to read 14 blueberries and counting. Nora won the medal for her peanut butter raspberry cream pie. When she made her acceptance speech at the APA conference, she gave all the credit to her husband, Charlie, because he had been helping her in the kitchen when she made it and had accidentally mixed up two recipes. With Polly Erling coming up the pike, it looked like the pie business would be booming in Ipswich for many years to come. After Charlie's little Polly left that afternoon, Alice went upstairs to her bedroom, opened the closet, and took down the round red hat box she kept on the top shelf. Wrapped in white tissue paper and smelling of mothballs was Aunt Polly's leopard print hat. She carefully lifted it out of the box and put it on. Polly had loved that hat, and she had loved Alice, too, which was one of the luckiest things that had ever happened to either of them. Alice grabbed her purse and, still wearing the hat, strolled down to the AMP where she bought a can of their finest sardines. When she got home, she fried up three of the salty fish, laid them side by side on the little blue china plate, and carried it out to the spot where Lardo was buried. Placing the plate in the grass, Alice sang a little song she had been working on in her head. How lucky am I to be right here? How lucky am I indeed? A lifetime of love and song and pie. What more could a person need? In the morning, when Alice went out to check, the little blue plate was licked clean. When she told Charlie about it later, he laughed and said most likely it was a raccoon that had eaten the fish. But he had a hard time explaining away the ornery fat white cat that showed up on Alice's doorstep 2 days later, yowling ignorantly to be fed.